if you're innovating, creating, or making a difference.
This show is for you. Welcome to Over Coffee. I'm Dot Cannon. Here on Over Coffee, we talk with artists and innovators about the process of changing the world in terms of what they do.
How can we use more modern technologies to alleviate the challenges of a growing global population? That led me towards indoor farming. We develop commercial scale indoor farming projects, and that's really how we're going to help feed the planet.
Eric Ellestad is the founder and CEO of Local Roots Farms, a Los Angeles-based startup which designs, builds, and operates cutting-edge indoor farming systems. Local Roots Farms uses technology, including sensor systems and LED lighting, to grow healthier food more efficiently. And they're pioneering a worldwide network of indoor farms as they look towards a more sustainable future. At the second event in Make in LA's Toolbox LA Lunchtime Series, Eric was on hand to explain indoor farming. Eric, tell me about this really exciting technology you're just promoting here.
Yeah, so Local Roots, we're an indoor vertical farming company. Our mission is to improve global health by building a better food system. And we do that by designing, building, deploying, and operating control environment indoor farms that grow and sell the freshest, healthiest leafy greens to food service and retail customers today in Los Angeles, over the next couple of years across the U.S.
Tell me the story behind Local Roots. How did you first come up with this concept?
So my family's been in the perishable distribution industry for the last four generations and 100 years. So I grew up looking at the challenges of managing the distribution of fresh fruits and vegetables thousands of miles. Stepped out of that and spent some time in early stage venture finance looking for technologies around food, water, energy, and logistics. How can we use more modern technologies to alleviate the challenges of a growing global population, use less resources to produce more, more efficiently, more responsibly? That led me towards indoor farming. And so I looked at the greenhouse industry, saw a lot of the advantages in being able to extend the growing season, move towards a more efficient growing practice, and bring those farms closer to the consumer, but didn't see an economic model that was compelling, largely because the technologies had not been developed enough. So I launched Local Roots back in 2013 to do exactly that. So we spent several years in R&D and engineering, testing, iterating through designing, not just an integrated farming solution, but all of the component technologies that make that possible, from our own proprietary LED system to our own controls, automation, sensors, actuators, irrigation, and also developing our own growing practices to finally tune and optimize the growing environment around every plant to get the best growth rates, highest yields, highest nutrient density, and the best flavor profiles to wow our customers every day.
I understand the LED lights, but let's suppose that I have an indoor farm. Now we're going to use sensors, and we're going to use all kinds of cool technology to tell me how to get the optimum yield. How's that work?
Yeah, so a lot of it looks like just tracking that plant. Study the plant, and you can really tell how it's growing. You can check nutrient density in the leaf, and you can start to regress those outputs against all the inputs that went into it. Looking at all your macro and micronutrients in the water, all of your environmental variables from your temperature, humidity, CO2, airflow, light, different wavelengths of light, and what was the time series of all those variables over the life of the plant. So by collecting all that data and also comparing to images and then weights and yield and nutrient analyses of the plant, you can start to identify which combination of factors led to those best results. And so if your goal is to grow the cheapest plant possible, that would lead to one combination of factors. If your goal is to grow the highest antioxidant plant possible, that might lead to a different set of factors. So you can start to develop not only plant-specific, but attribute-specific growing recipes, depending on what the customer and the market demand is.
You were actually saying during your presentation, if I want something that tastes more peppery, or if I want a bigger head of lettuce, or if I want a thicker leaf, I can do that?
Depends on the plant, yes. But basil, for example, is really fascinating. If you increase the intensity of blue light that you grow it under, you can increase the spiciness in your basil. So that's something that we've started asking our chefs about, to say, you know, what do you want your basil to taste like? Okay, you're used to buying Italian basil. We can deliver you that same plant, or we can deliver you something slightly different. And that's a question they've never been asked before by their produce suppliers.
Very cool stuff. Is your ultimate goal to deliver to the individual consumer who can then grow his or her own whatever tomatoes? Or are you thinking large in terms of chefs? Are you thinking both?
So we develop commercial scale indoor farming projects because that lets us operate with efficiencies to get food to the consumer at the best cost possible. And that's really how we're going to help feed the planet. And while there are ways that you could get a farm into everyone's home, for example, it would be expensive to for them to purchase a farm and not an economical way for them to buy food, at least in this day and age. So for us, the best way for us to feed the most people possible is to work with large-scale retail and food service buyers.
Tell me a little bit about your journey as an innovator. You said you started in 2013. What was that like from concept to where you are right now?
Well, we started out like a lot of companies operating out of a garage and buying some equipment off the shelf to start testing and experimenting and experiencing what, you know, growing plants under certain types of conditions looked like. And we made a lot of mistakes, you know, structured rapid failure. But then you figure out what went wrong, why did it go wrong, and what do you wish this component could do? Is that component available in the marketplace? If the answer is no, it's like, okay, let's design and engineer what we would need. And so you start iterating through cycles on each of the components and subsystems, as well as your process. And at this stage, we've gone through on several generations of not only our overall farm design, but a lot of our components. And so you have to be willing and able to take risks, take calculated risks, but learn from them. And then be very methodical about how and when you begin to commercialize once you've gotten traction and verification from your customers that you're actually solving a problem they want you to solve.
What's one good mistake you made?
Oh gosh, we've killed a lot of plants. but we've also grown a lot of good plants. Another mistake. I think in a lot of ways, when we launched this business, we thought that we could rely on third parties a lot more than we do today. Parties that could help us design and engineer and then manufacture components. Third parties to actually do our assembly of our farms. Third parties to come in and help with the distribution of our products. And in a lot of cases, they were not able to do what we needed them to do. And so we brought some of those in-house. And so we ended up vertically integrating our team fairly extensively. Until today, we have our own in-house plant scientist and botanist and agronomist that work alongside our engineering team, and they develop everything from the ground up. And so that was a surprise to me. I thought we'd be able to rely on other businesses to support us, but it does provide a strategic advantage to be able to pull costs out of our system and find ways to innovate where if we did not have those options in-house, would not be available to us. So we can problem solve from a wide range of angles, ranging from the biological to the hardware to the software to the product development strategy to the distribution strategy to the branding to the marketing to the finance. You can come at challenges from any of those angles.
What about resources? I don't know that many plant scientists if I were depending on somebody who didn't come through. How do you develop the people you need? How do you get things going as you need?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what we do is sort of a normal function in another business. Like, we have mechanical engineers. So living here in LA, there's a lot of aerospace companies and universities that develop a lot of talent in that category. Computer science, same thing. You look at software companies that have had to work with similar data sets that we work with. And while they're not coming from the agricultural industry, they have the skill set and work on similar kind of problems. We're just applying it to ag. From a plant science perspective, I mean, we're in a lot of ways very similar to an outdoor farm, wanting to manage the environment around the plants. We just have some different tools. And so I think the study of what the plant needs, which is at the core of all plant science, is universal. Our application, our strategy is novel. So we really look for people who have the tools bring the table, and then the passion and the intellect to innovate and how they would apply it differently in our environment.
If people want to know more about what you're doing right now, how do they get in touch with you?
Go to our website, www.localrootsfarms.com. We have some videos on there. You can even do a 3D tour of our first commercial generation farm, and you can follow us as we look to deploy projects in new geographies. And we're present around Southern California quite a bit, but looking for partners and customers and reasons to go expand to new cities.
Excellent. Localrootsfarms.com. If everything turns out exactly like you want it to, this time next year, what are you going to be telling me is happening for you?
We will have deployed our first few commercial scale projects. They will be up and running, and we will hopefully have a pipeline of cities that we're getting ready to expand to, and considering not just domestically but internationally what food scarcity and access and food system challenges around the world could this technology in our company help solve.
And finally, Eric, if anybody could get only one thing from you about innovation, creativity, and making a difference, what would you want that to be?
Don't be afraid to try, because everything's impossible until someone does it. So don't let the world or the fact something hasn't been done convince you that you can't.
This has been great. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
You and I have been listening to Eric Ellestad, founder and CEO of Local Roots Farms. To find out more about Local Roots Farms' indoor farming solutions and take a virtual tour of their vertical terra farm, go to their website, localrootsfarms.com. That's localrootsfarms.com. And that concludes this edition of Over Coffee. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to Over Coffee through our website, twomavericks.com. That's twomaverix.com, twomavericks.com. And you can contact us at twomavericks@gmail.com. I'm Dot Cannon. Here's wishing you a cappuccino day.